We're reading from John's Gospel again this morning, coming back to John 17, and we're discovering lots of wonderful and amazing things in this chapter, aren't we? And we're coming back to John 17. If you're using the Red Pew Bibles, it's on page 764, and we're starting with verse 24. So John 17, starting at verse 24. Jesus prays, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, that I myself may be in them." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's good to be together, isn't it? Despite the fact that ABBA are making a comeback or whatever else. Can't do this morning. We cry, "Abba, Father," and worship him together in the name of Jesus. And we have a great expectation in our hearts that one day we will rise with the saints when Jesus returns, and we will see him forever and forever, and we will never be bored. Isn't that good news? And let us pray. Oh, our Father, we have every reason to praise you this morning, to lift our hearts to you. There is no God like you, and you are our God, and we are your family. Thank you for Jesus today and all that he means to us. And we pray that he will draw close to us as the Spirit takes the truth and wings it into our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 17, verses 24 to 25. Our destiny is to see Jesus in his glory. That's our destiny, and we're going to explore that for a little time this morning together. Often people say something like this: "I really want to go there one day." And often people have a destination in mind, and it often controls their life, at least for a period of time. Some of us say to family or to friends, "You must come and visit us. We want you to be with us." Jesus ends his prayer, and he knows that he's going home to the Father, and he's looking forward very much to that. We mustn't underestimate how much he was looking forward to that. He'd been away from home for 33 years, and he was going home, and he keeps saying it. Yet Jesus wants us, his followers, to join him at home. He has a very strong desire, you see, to spend eternity with us. You see, he didn't want heaven without us. He really did want us. Isn't that amazing this morning? And this great desire that he expresses, particularly in verse 24, of course is going to be answered, isn't it? The Father would answer it and is going to answer it. And he's going to answer it because of Jesus, who would go out to a cross and die and rise again. Two things to say this morning in all of this. All right? Number one, the glorious destiny is in verse 24, isn't it? Let's just read those verses. That verse: "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me before the creation of the world." So where are you going? Is the journey worth it? Is it worth the money? Is it worth the effort? Is there a certainty in it that you will arrive? Well, here, my friends, is the glorious destiny for us as God's people. And it is worth it because He is worth it. He is our way to God, John chapter 14 and verse 6. And He made very clear in John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, that He was going away to prepare a place for us. And so Jesus is already inhabiting or indwelling the place that He's preparing for us. He would win this destiny for us. We mustn't forget it. He would win this destiny for us through the cross, which is why He prays the way He does. He already knows the achievement of the cross. Verse 24 tells you that. So, my friends, this destiny is not our achievement. I went to see The Greatest Showman yesterday in the Kinnamur in the woods. It's a good place, isn't it? Have you been? No, not yet. Yeah, some of you have. Okay, never mind. Don't get sidetracked now, please, and count the times you've been and try to remember the films that you've seen. Great aspirations, isn't it? Want to live the dream. Want to create your own world. But of course they couldn't. And here, my friends, is Jesus and His destiny for you and for me. And He won it for us. We're not living our destiny, we're living His, if we're His followers. And these verses strengthen that sense of certainty regarding our arrival. We are going to be with Him where He is. Two reasons for that. A, it's the Father's loving will. You notice that? Look at the verse in 24. Father, I want those You have given Me. Jesus keeps saying this about us. We are the given ones. The Father in love gave the Son a list of people to get for Him and bring them back into relationship with Himself. Isn't that good news for us? We are the unlovely and we are the unworthy. And yet here our destiny has been decided in eternity past. Amazing love. The Father chose us before He made the world. That's totally free love. And the Son's obedient life of service to God secures this for us, doesn't it? His death on the cross is the means by way He can grant eternal life to us. My father sometimes would send me to the railway station to get our guests and bring them home. As an obedient son, of course, I would go and do so. Jesus, the obedient Son, came to get the family and bring us home to the Father. It's the Father's loving will that we should have this destiny. Yet B, it's the Son's will, and it matches the Father's will. Notice that. Jesus refers to Himself as the sent one. Yet He's not a reluctant participant in this matter. The Son's heart matches the Father's heart, doesn't it? There is a beautiful harmony here, and we must not miss it in any way. The Son's heart matches the Father's heart. It's a double security, if you like. No one can snatch us from the Father's hand, and no one can snatch us from the Son's hand. There is a total harmony in all of this. So the Son expresses a very strong desire in all of this. Excuse me. That they may be with Me where I am and see My glory. Yes, Jesus is leaving His disciples physically, yet His heart is full of love towards us, even now. He's physically absent, isn't He? He's not here. But spiritually He is present, isn't He? And His heart towards us is that we may be with Him where He is. and that we might see his glory. Jesus is our brilliant destiny. The splendour of the King, we sing sometimes, don't we? And what a splendour he is. Yes, we only have words and images now, don't we? And yet, one day we will see him face to face. We will see him face to face. And my friends, we will not be disappointed with the full glory. We get a little glimpse of it in the Gospel of John, for example. And we say, what an amazing Jesus he is. But what will the full glory be like? One of my destinations was Machu Picchu. It's in Peru, by the way, if you don't know, I'm sure you do. I'd seen pictures of it, of course. And I had read some stuff about it, as I do. And then one day I stood there and I was not disappointed on the very mountain. My friends, we're told that the glory of Christ will fill the cosmos. The glory of Christ, Ephesians 1, will fill the cosmos. You've never seen a glory like that, neither have I. And I say to you, therefore, we will not be disappointed with this glory. So if we die, we go to be with Christ, which is better by far. It's guaranteed. And the assurance of God's love can defeat the fear of death and the temptation to live Christ for something, something better. And this glorious destiny of Jesus was given to him before the foundation of the world. We need to be clear this morning that Jesus was not earning the love of God for himself. He already had that love from eternity past, the text tells us. My friends, I have to say to us, Christ was earning that love for you and for me. And what an amazing love it is for us. And that's why we can say today that we are chosen and dearly loved. It's a little phrase in Colossians chapter 3. It's a beautiful phrase, isn't it? Chosen and dearly loved. How amazing is that? All because Christ is our destiny. So we are as fully loved by the Father as he loves his Son. Sometimes we struggle with the love of God, don't we, in our lives. How could he love us? How could he care for us? How could he die for us? But we're now told that we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. I'm just going to move about. Don't get worried about it. It just helps me break tension within myself, okay? All right? It's okay. I'm a weirdo. So let not the foibles get in the way of the word of God. Let's hear the word of God, shall we? That's why I'm doing it. Okay? Thank you. We are as fully loved by the Father as he loves his Son. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, says Colossians, into the kingdom of the Son he loves. All of us in this room, many of us in this room at least, would have some concerns about whether God loves us today. Maybe it's not been a great week. Maybe we've had difficulties. Maybe there's been failures of sin, besetting sins. And we wonder whether God could ever love us. And we think, well, we have to make ourselves better. We'll set some more rules this week. We'll discipline ourselves a whole lot better. We'll have a quiet time every day. We'll have it for 3 hours. And God will love me because of it. My friends, can you grasp with me today the importance of understanding that we are loved by the Father as much as he loves the Son? And he always loves us that much. And how do we know? Because the Son is in the presence of the Father now. That's our glorious destiny. Is it your destiny? Maybe you're looking to go somewhere else. Well, fine. Enjoy some other nation. Well, I hope you do. But your destination, if you're a follower of Jesus, is to be with him where he is. There's the glorious destiny. Secondly, and finally, the family secret, verses 25 to 26. The glorious destiny, you see, is sure. The end of the journey, yes, is sorted, but home is already guaranteed. Jesus is, in fact, already there. And Jesus now adds these verses, verses 25 to 26, in order to make us realize that it's not just about the end. It is about the end, isn't it? But what's it like on the way to the end? What's it like there? On the journey now? And he wants us to know his continuing heart is to make the righteous Father known to us. You see that? His continuing ministry at this moment, right at this moment, is to make the Father known to us. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself might be in them. So notice some thoughts. Number one, we have the right Father. The world tells us it's wrong to know God and to know God as Father through Jesus. Righteous Father. It is right to have God as our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is right to have God as our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice also with me, my friends, that the world does not know God as Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? The world knows many things, doesn't it? You engage with the world, maybe more than I do, has great knowledge about all kinds of amazing things, doesn't it? But it's entirely wrong about God. I would not take one single view from the world about God. I need to know Jesus. Because if I have seen Jesus, I've seen the Father. And therefore, for my friends, we have a family secret. It's known only to followers of Jesus. God is our Father. So you go to work tomorrow, or wherever else you'll be going. You may be feeling threatened by going there. My just mentioning it brings that threat to you, doesn't it? But I want you to know you go with the family secret. You know something the world doesn't know. You know God as Father through Jesus. That changes everything. Do you notice that Jesus is continuing to do this ministry of making the Father known to us? Good to explore who God is, isn't it? The Christian church is in danger, I think, sometimes of losing the character of God. He is holy and awesome and great and beautiful and majestic. Jesus wants us to continue to know God and know an intimacy with God. And that's what he's continuing to do this morning. And that feeds us an ability to keep on continuing. The New Testament calls us as Christians to continue to run the race. And to run it for the prize of being in heaven with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Run the race to win the prize. And the prize is guaranteed, my friends. The problem with running with races, there's only one winner, isn't there? But the great thing is that the whole church wins equally. if you can put it this way, and I'm going to put it this way anyway, we all win at the same time. We all finish the race together when Jesus returns in all his majesty. Think about it. This is your destiny. And you continue to come to TCM, not just to Heritage Trust on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or other times, because you want to continue. Because Jesus is committed to continuing. And we have no reason for stopping. And we discover, as we continue, that Jesus reveals the righteous Father to us. That we are loved as the Son is loved from the foundation of the world. It's all about holy love. I said holy love, not just love. The glorious benefit of being in Christ comes home to us. And the reason to keep on running also comes home to us. We want to be with Christ where he is and see his glory. And understand that the Father and the Son loved each other before the creation of the world. And that is the love that will envelop us perfectly forever and ever. I saw an advert yesterday before the film started. Can't remember what car it was for. Somebody will tell me afterwards. Why fit in when you can stand out in joy? Why fit in when you can stand out in joy? Here is a destiny that is glorious. Here is a family secret that is ours by grace alone. That's the reason for our joy, isn't it? So why fit in when you can stand out with joy? I went to see The Greatest Showman. As I said, it's a musical in film. It's full of song and human aspirations to live the glorious dream, the dream of happiness, celebrating human equality, love, and glorious living. And all the time they were singing these loud songs, and Enough, and This Is Me, and Glorious Dream, and all that stuff, and all the other things that were going on, John 17:24 in my head, drilling constantly. Even in the intermission when I went off to the toilet. John 17:24, not the film. The film has lots of human aspirations, but answers none of them. It's not real, you see. It's just a show. It's a momentary happiness that passes away. But oh, my friends, here we have reality as defined by God through Jesus. Here we have not a showman, but actually all of those human aspirations answered in the Son of God. Which is the reason why Paul says in 2 Timothy that we love his appearing. The church must be seen, says Leslie Newbegin, as the company of pilgrims on the way to the end of the world and to the ends of the earth. This is all about mission, because these disciples in the room were going to be sent out on mission, and they would go out on mission with the family secret. Loved by God forever through Jesus, righteous Father. Through the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, they had a glorious destiny. And all of them would die for the gospel. All the men in the room that heard Jesus in John 17 died for the sake of the gospel. Because Jesus said, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and see my glory. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Eh? Let us pray. Take a moment, please. Never mind the preacher and his foibles. And I will rise with all the other saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus. Come on, people of God. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And indeed forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.